Well, good morning. So good to see all of you here this morning. And so good to see all these instruments up here and these singers and just this opportunity to sing praises to the Lord. We had opportunity to go up down to Texas for Thanksgiving, and that was good. It's just always great to be able to see family and then also to come back and be with our church family also. We're so grateful to the Lord for you. When I think about this series that we're going to work through together on the 12 days of Christmas, I thought, what better way to start it out than culturally come from the highest heights? So take a listen to the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, in a really quality level of, I'll just let it speak for itself.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
And on the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
gave to me six geese a-laying,
five swans,
four calling birds, three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
everybody. Fozzie, you got it.
We can only go uphill from there, okay? But I was intrigued by a study that was done a couple years back. It actually was done again last year on what these gifts would actually cost if it was put together. A partridge in a pear tree, $222.68. Two turtle doves, $450. Three French hens, $255. Four calling birds, $599.96. Five golden rings, $895. Six geese a laying, $660. Seven swans a swimming, $13,125. Eight maids a milking, $58. Nine ladies dancing, $7,552. And 10 lords of leaping, $11,260. 11 pipers piping, $2,943. And 12 drummers drumming, $3,183. For a total of $41,205.58. So that would be a very loving thing for the true love to give to this individual that's going to receive it. But as we stop and focus on this time of the year, we think of where do our gifts come from. Take a look at this in James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Well, the 12 days of Christmas is actually a period in Christian theology that marks the span between the birth of Christ and the coming of the Magi, the wise men. It begins on December 25th, Christmas Day, and then runs through January 6th, what is called the Epiphany. Sometimes it's also called Three Kings Day. And the 4 weeks preceding Christmas are collectively known as Advent. That's why we start this Sunday with the first candle, which begins four Sundays before Christmas and ends on December 24th. But the 12 days of Christmas is also this Christmas carol that you and I just sat through. And the singer is bragging about all these amazing gifts that they received from their true love during the 12 days of Christmas. And each verse builds on the previous one, serving as a really effective way to annoy family members on a trip. It's kind of like 99 bottles of beer on the wall, that sort of thing. Well, a story is told that it was actually a song created to teach theology in a coded way, because at the time, any religious teaching was strictly forbidden. The reason I have the Union Jack flag up there is this is coming out of England. And this is what is said concerning this song. But for over 300 years, the free expression of Christian living was not allowed. And during this time, people fled from England. If you remember that, that's why people fled from England for a new life in America. The pilgrims, they were leaving that old world and coming to the new world because they did not want to live under that religious persecution anymore. And so what would happen, according to this story, is Christian parents during this time were looking for a new way to teach their children the basic doctrines of the Bible. So someone had a great idea. Let's use secret Christmas symbols through the lyrics of a song. And Christians have used symbols before, you know that, at times where they would use fish as a way of saying that this is a Christian group, or obviously the cross, or even the Greek letter chi. If you've ever seen the Greek letter chi, which is an X, that is a way of saying Christ. So sometimes you'll hear people say, let's keep Christ in Christmas, and they'll say, don't use Xmas. And I get that, because it's not that hard to write out the word Christ. But actually, the chi is a representative of Christ. And so you aren't being blasphemous by doing that. I just want you to know. But that probably is the case for some that would want to X him out of Christmas. This true love, according to this story, is referring to God. Look at this in 1 John 4:19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so this true love is God giving that gift to the individual that's receiving that gift. And as I was doing research, because we live in the age of Google, you know that, and so I could put all this out to you, and then you look up and you find out, oh, well, actually, Snopes says that isn't the case. The story that I just told you isn't the case. But I want to put out to you that nobody is snoping Snopes. And there'll be a lot of times that you'll see things that do have Christian roots, but they are taken away by a culture that doesn't want that. And so they'll find every reason to say that's not the case. So what we're going to do as we'll work through the first 3 days, and we'll go through that as we go through the month of December. I'm going to tell you what the story is told about what is being taught theologically with that. But also, if Snopes was right, I'm going to also give you something that, as I was looking at these different elements to this gift, these different gifts, what came to mind for me as I was looking through the Word. So let's pray and then get into this together. Father, you're a good God, and you give us good gifts. You give us perfect gifts. Sometimes we don't realize it. I was talking with an individual this past week, and they were asking, when did I know that I was called into this thing called preaching and ministry? And I knew as a freshman in high school. And I know that's rare. But I'm grateful, God, that you got a hold of me then, because I watch me, and I'm not that great of a guy. I had my own path quite often, and so thank you, Lord. But I also think back to that time being a very difficult time in my life, and even as I think of songs that are sung and memories come back, I think of how even through the pain, even through the difficult time, you used that good gift, you used that perfect gift. At the time, I didn't think so, but you used it to draw me, cause me to have that interest in you, hear you a little bit better. And so I'm asking, God, as I don't know what everybody is dealing with in the room, they're having a good day, amen. And if they're having a hard day or a difficult day, that, Father, somehow that's a gift from you, and that you would use it in your way to encourage hearts this morning. Sometimes in those difficult times, you've got our ear, because we're hurting. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can spend this time together, sing these songs of Christmas and the hope that is tied to that. And we're just grateful for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Day one, what comes to mind in this outline is the idea of being content. Be content. If you want to take notes, there's a spot in the back of your bulletin to do that. That first gift that was given is a partridge in a pear tree. This is a symbol of Jesus Christ on the cross. John 3:16, and many of you have heard this verse so many times, but it's worth repeating. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The gospel in one verse. The partridge was known as a valiant bird, willing to fight to the death in order to defend its young, fighting for us on that tree. What also comes to mind, though, as I was reflecting on this, is the idea of being content. When I was thinking about a nest, a bird with a nest, this context came to mind. Matthew 8, 18 through 20. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Do we ever stop and think about what Jesus gave up for us? The glories of heaven. He did exist before his birth. Theologically, that is a case. And so we've got this God-man named Jesus who enters time and space, and he's preaching the good news of the gospel. He's sharing the truths that need to be heard. And people are hearing it. And some are going, I could do that. I could do that. This makes sense to me. I'm going to go with that. But what was happening here is there's this scribe, this man is breaking with his fellow scribes, so he's got the boldness to do that, and he's publicly declaring his willingness to follow Jesus. But nonetheless, Jesus evidently knew that he had not really counted the cost in terms of suffering and inconvenience. And so what does Jesus do? I love this. He does this constantly in the Bible. He uses object lessons. He points at a couple of animals. He says, there's these animals called foxes, and they have holes that they can live in. And then there's birds, and this guy's no dummy. He would go, yeah, I get that. There's birds of the air. They have nests. And he goes, I want you to have an understanding about me. If you're all in, do you understand that there's the potential of this being a hard life? What this looks like could be difficult. And I want you to have that understanding as you head into this life. And he says, he points out these animals that had homes, but the Son of Man, who, this is a messianic title used in Daniel, this God-man who took on flesh, he's willing to be without a home so that we would ultimately have one. Isn't God good? I mean, that's so good of him. So let me ask you, it's so easy to start looking around and going, man, I wish I had that, and I wish, that's called coveting, that you would stop and reflect on what you do have. And because we're getting bombarded, you know that. This is I don't know if any of you went out on that crazy day this past Friday. Whenever I see people doing that, I'm like, God bless you. But that is a representation, when it gets nutso, that's a representation of what's truly in the heart when it's out of control. And I believe that God has called us to be content as Christians in whatever state we're in. And so I put that out to you this morning as we start out this Christmas season. Would you be willing to be content? I would love to challenge the little ones here, because there's this thing that goes on. I've been in situations where kids are opening stuff. I mean, a ton of stuff compared to what I got. I'm not bitter, all right? But then I hear about grandparents that they got an orange and they were happy. But I've seen the situation, and you'll hear a kid go, "Is this all?" And I'm going, is this all? But that's what it can turn into. we get a little more refined. We wouldn't necessarily say it, but in our hearts, is this all? And God is saying to you and me, I want you to be content. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. What a great God. Let's keep going. Day two, the idea of being sacrificial. Two turtle doves. These, according to the story, would represent the Old and New Testaments. Prior to the 16th century, the common man was not allowed to read the Holy Scriptures for himself. Now, you just stop and think about that for a second. We've got this book that has the truth of God. And sometimes it lays dormant in our house. And there, these are people that would love to have had it. Two turtle doves represents the Old and New Testament. And so that time prior to the 16th century, historians call this the Dark Ages. And then the scriptures were published and put into the hands of the common man. And boy, did that change things. People started, oh, this is what this says. I don't have to wait for you to tell me I got this. And in those two testaments, God reveals himself to a lost world. What also comes to mind for me, though, is the idea of being sacrificial. Look at this in Luke 2, 22 through 24. This is a Christmassy situation here. Jesus has already been born. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so Jesus, after he's born, story of Christmas Day, and then later there's going to be this purification that needs to go on because a woman who bore a son was ceremonially unclean for 40 days. After that, she was to offer a yearling lamb and a dove or pigeon, and we see that in Leviticus 12 if you want to look at that later. But if they're poor, she could offer what was listed there, two turtle doves or pigeons. And Mary's offering indicated that she and Joseph were poor. Isn't it interesting, too, this story, how it comes together, how God picks who he picks to be part of this story? Common, poor people. And they didn't rationalize giving. They didn't go, well, I don't have very much, so I'm not going to give. They still saw that there was a spot in the law that made it possible for them to give, and so they were still sacrificing. And that's what Christmas, and when I say that to you, I think I should put a parenthesis there. That's what Christmas and all times should be. I mean, you do see people being nicer now, do you? I mean, I know the craziness of last Friday, but I'm talking about people do get nice, and it's like, could we do this more often? But the reality is, I can't have expectations for people that aren't children of God because they haven't given their life to Christ. They're doing it because culture pushes a certain way. But I want to encourage you to be sacrificial. Would you be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, how can I communicate a sacrificing heart to others? Not to toot my horn, not to get attention, but that I really think about the fact that I'd be willing to give in that way. And what the beauty of it is, I have no control over that for you. And I don't know what sacrificial even looks like for you, but you do. I think sometimes we see it in the Operation Christmas Child where we pack those boxes and you send it off and you feel good. And I feel good about that. I mean, it's a good thing. But there are opportunities around us here. And so I want you to, I just throw that out to you as something that you'd be willing to be sacrificial and allow the Lord to use that in however he sees fit. Because I see a couple who are going to be experiencing some pretty dark times, Mary and Joseph, and they're still willing to line themselves up with the scriptures and be sacrificial in that way. And that's what Christmas should be a time of, making sacrifices for others. Day three, be familial. Familial. Three French hens. French hens were valuable poultry during the 16th century, and only the rich could afford them. These costly birds symbolized the three valuable gifts by the three wise men. Matthew 2:10-11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold is the most valuable commodity in the world today. Frankincense was used by the Jewish high priests as they would enter the Holy of Holies. And then myrrh was an expensive spice that was used for burials. And we've even gone through a series talking about those three different gifts, specifically in messages, and why they were such amazing gifts given by these wise men, these magi that had come to find Jesus. What also comes to mind, though, is the idea of being familial. Luke 13:31-34. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox." So Jesus has some strict words for Herod. He calls him a fox. "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." And then he stops. Now, so you think about the boldness of him saying this. You tell that fox. And it's not a compliment like he was good looking or cute, okay? He's saying he's sly. And after saying that bold statement, then the realization of this city that had been set apart for peace, Jerusalem. And what he has to do to gain our salvation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. So the people that are given this truth, I'm giving you truth, and you kill the people that give that truth to you. You throw rocks at the people that are sharing those facts with you. "Often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." So Jesus is, with the tenderness of his words, and it's seen in this imagery of the hen and chickens, this outpouring of divine compassion. And it foreshadows something that is going to happen a little bit later. He's going to be weeping as he approached Jerusalem for the final time. Look at this in Luke 19. This is six chapters later. Luke 19, verse 41. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. Do you ever watch the news and instead of getting mad, and it's hard sometimes, instead of getting mad, your heart breaks for people? We wrestle not with flesh and blood. I get why we get mad. I get it. And it can happen on both sides of this situation. But boy, I want to have the heart of Christ. My hometown, Chicago, my heart breaks over the constant killing that is going on in the streets there. And I could get worked up about guns. I could get worked up about race. I could get worked up about poverty. I could get worked up about all those things that make sense. All these things say certain things on both sides. But I think sometimes there's a place for, like Jesus, to stop. And our hearts would just be broken for people that some of them don't even know any better. They just don't know any better. They think the way they do. We can all fall into it. Jesus looks at Jerusalem. He knows the crime that is going on. He knows what he is heading into. And instead of yelling for and demanding his rights, his heart is broken over these people, these lost people. See, Jesus cared about his Jewish brothers and sisters deeply. God is calling you and I to care. He's calling us to that. We have a community. That's why we're asking the thing about something as simple as cookies. Because with those cookies that we're going to put together, we're going to put a note and tell them that we love you as teachers in our community. All different types of educational formats. We love you, servicemen. We love you, first responders. We're so grateful. We pray for you. And that they would know that Grace Bible Church cares. Because God has called us to care. So we've got a community that's a family. But even more specifically here, we have this family that we care deeply about. And sometimes it can bring us to tears. So remember, at this Christmas time and any other time, that all of these people matter. And we love them as our family. So as we go into Christmas, would you be willing to be content, be sacrificial, and be familial? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your faithfulness, your goodness. And as we stop and reflect on how often your Son communicated these truths that we need to hear of contentment and sacrificial and the familialness that Christ taught, not just to his biological family, but to those that were around him that needed it. So thank you, Lord. And I ask you to help us in these different areas. And as we go through this the next few weeks, that the next time we hear this song, if it just keeps droning on and we just want it to get over with, we'd stop and reflect on the fact that this could have been code for theology that needed to be taught because people were not having the opportunity anymore. But also there's word pictures in there that communicate truth. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you that you can do it in so many ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.